Today we start a new series called Bedrock, Back to Basics in 1 John. And the reason for that title will become more and more apparent as we start to work through this book in the Bible, where the Apostle John, you know, really deals with some of the foundational bedrock truth of the Christian faith that we stand on, that we walk forward on as followers of Jesus. You're going to find this really a power-packed letter. We're going to read about God's love for us. We're going to read about our love for Him and how we love each other. And I guess, you know, you'll see, yes, bedrock themes running through it, but one of the best ways probably to try and understand how John writes this letter is to imagine you're standing at the top of a mountain and you're going to descend the mountain. But rather than walking straight down, you're going to spiral round that mountain. And of course, the further you get, the wider you're moving out. And what John does is he introduces us to a theme. So we're at the top of the mountain saying he introduces us to love. And as we're spiraling round, we come back to that theme again. And then we go further down and we come back to it again. He keeps coming back to the same sort of themes, just going deeper and deeper throughout the book. So today, though, it's introduction. It's so important that we kind of just, before we get right into the nitty-gritty of 1 John, that we sort of step back and take a big picture overview of it. So we're going to be looking at the author, John himself. We're going to be looking at the context in which he's writing in. And then we're going to look at a key verse that God laid on my heart for this new series. So the first thing then is John himself and his journey from son of thunder to apostle of love. And John and his brother James were the sons of Zebedee. They were a fishing family. These were common, hard working blokes. John's brother James was the first apostle to be martyred. You can read about that. I think it's in Acts 12. You can read about that. John wrote around 20% of the New Testament, the Gospel of John 1, 2, 3, the letters of John, and then, of course, Revelations. If John, though, was writing a resume, he could put on his resume one of Jesus' closest friends. Along with James and Peter, you know, there was the 12 disciples, but there was this group of three, you know, James and Peter. They got the be part of things that some of the others didn't. You know, the raising of Jairus' daughter, on the Mount of Transfiguration they were there, in the Garden of Gethsemane they were there, although they fell asleep while Jesus was wrestling at that point. And John, though, appears to be the only disciple that was at the cross. And Jesus looked at his mother and he looked at John and he entrusts John with the care of his mother. But Jesus gave John and his brother an interesting name. In Mark chapter 3, verse 17, he refers to them as the sons of thunder. Now, I think that sounds pretty cool. Some of us might think, well, what a great name to be given, sons of thunder. But it also in some ways gives a bit of an insight into John's character and his brother's character as well. They were quite confrontational kind of guys, you know. In Mark 10, you know, Jesus has been sharing about how he's going to die, you know, and he's sharing really personally to his disciples about how he's soon going to die. And at that, you know, he shared that, and up come the two of them, bold as brass, saying, okay, that's great, but, you know, see when you're in glory, can one of us sit at your right side and one of us sit at your left side? You know, their sensitivity to the moment, zero. But I think the name probably comes from the story we read about in Luke chapter 9. Jesus has set out for Jerusalem and he's going to cut through Samaria. And the folks there are like, no, don't come this way. You're not coming this way. And so we read this. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? And we read that Jesus turned and rebuked them. The two brothers are like, you're not going to let us pass them. Boom, we're bringing down the fire. They're the sons of thunder. And yet John would become known as the apostle of love. And we'll see in this letter his tenderness, his how he writes in many ways, talking like a father would talk to his young children. He refers to them as his dear children. From thunder to love, then. Now, John's writing this letter about AD 80, AD 95. He's an old man. He has walked many years with Jesus as his Lord. And as he's walked as a disciple of Jesus, he's been changed through the years. You know, there's a story, I'm not sure if it's true or not. It's told that when John was an old man in Ephesus, he would get carried around some of the churches in the area. And if John was coming, and if John was going to speak, everyone turned out to hear the apostle John speak. He had seen it all. He had walked with Jesus for 3 years. We want to hear what the apostle John has seen. So there was always great excitement. And so John would get brought in and he would get lifted up. And the story goes, he would say, little children, love one another. And that was it. That's all he would say. And someone complained, can you believe? Someone even complained about the Apostle John. Someone had complained and said, you know, we're carrying you about everywhere. Can you not say a little bit more? And the story goes that John in response said, if that is all they do, that is enough. Little children, love one another. And in this letter, we will see the Son of Thunder who becomes the Apostle of Love, and he encourages love, love, love. You know, I was thinking about it. John could have stayed the Son of Thunder, but he opened his life to who Jesus was and what Jesus wanted to do in his life. And that, I guess that's an invitation to us as we come into 1 John. There's an invitation to us, you know, many ways based on the character of who John was and who he became. There's an invitation to us to open our lives to who Jesus is today. Open our lives to what Jesus wants to do in our lives as we journey through this book together. Open our lives to what God wants to do through the power of the Holy Spirit and how he will change us as we come into this in-depth walk through the book of 1 John. You know, in your life, you know, I don't know what sort of journey you've been on in your own life, but I would just encourage you, you know, here is this man. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's written this letter, the Son of Thunder, who became the Apostle of Love. And I guess many of us probably have got a thunder to love story to tell, but we're all still walking that out. And so we want to get back into the basics and back into the bedrocks, the truths of some of our Christian faith as we're going through this together. So the first thing we see in the offer, Son of Thunder to that apostle of love. The second thing we come to though is context. Jesus, a life like no other. And the context in which John lived, in many ways it's not too dissimilar to ours. There was a vast array of beliefs. You had the Jewish culture, you had the Greco-Roman culture, you had the worship of all different types of gods. You know, it's into this culture that Jesus came in. When John writes in his gospel in John 1, you know, the word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. You know, Jesus came into that sort of type of culture. But John here, though, he is writing to a church in crisis. There's a new movement of false teaching regarding the identity of Jesus. And it comes under the banner of Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism can be a bit tricky to explain because there were so many different strains to it, but there were some common threads, you know. One of them was the fact that the material world was evil and our kind of inner soul, spiritual world was good. And so it didn't actually matter what you did with your body as long as you kept your soul good. So there was a lot of people, you know, doing immoral behaviour that would go against, you know, the teachings of Jesus. The other thing that Gnosticism, that word, it comes from the word knowledge, and they tried to sell a special knowledge of salvation. They also denied that Jesus was God's son. In some case, they even thought that he'd been a real person, that he'd maybe just been a ghost or some sort of phantom. Some believed that if you'd gone to touch Jesus, your hand would have just gone right through him. There were others, like the man called Cerinthius. He taught that Jesus was a man. When he was baptized, he became Christ the Spirit, but this left him on the cross. And these sort of teachings were just sweeping across the church in Asia Minor and modern day Turkey. And it's teaching like this that John writes to bring, to strengthen, to bring assurance, to give guidance to these churches, to take them back to the sort of bedrock truths of the Christian faith. You know, there is a storm, and he is the loving Father that is trying to anchor them. Excuse me. He's trying to anchor them securely in the truth. So he starts his letter by reminding them of the uniqueness of Jesus, a life like no other. Let me read to you from the first four verses now in 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. You know, these words are described by some as the fourth of what is referred to as the great beginnings in the Bible. You know, Genesis 1, in the beginning God created. Mark 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning. You know, John in these opening verses reveals to us the incredible truth that Jesus lived a life like no other because he is God's Son. It's about the incarnation. It's the central claim of the Christian faith that God himself came and dwelt amongst us, fully human, fully God. And John takes time in these opening four verses to spell out the uniqueness of Jesus. Firstly, his divinity, the fact that he is God. In verse 1, that which was from the beginning, that which has always existed. Verse 2, the eternal life that was with the Father and has appeared to us, the eternal life that's Jesus, who's always existed. John firmly believed that Jesus is God. Jesus' own teaching he had heard. John 14, verse 9, he records it. Anyone who has seen me, Jesus said, has seen the Father. And John wants his readers to grasp this, that Jesus is God. He wants them to know Jesus, because he knows it is Jesus that it makes it possible for us to have, as he says in verse 3, fellowship with the Father and with Jesus. John is basically saying in these opening verses, Jesus has always been. He's the Alpha and the Omega. But John also in these opening verses is defending the humanity of Jesus. Remember, John writes as an eyewitness. Look what he says in verse 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. Remember those that were going about teaching, you know what, you couldn't even touch Jesus. He was just a ghost. He was just a phantom. And John's saying, I've touched him. Verse 2, we've seen it. Verse 3, we have heard. Look at some of the other words he uses, like proclaim and testify. This is, he's talking here about his own personal witness. The eternal life that was in the Father has appeared to us. And he knows that because he saw it and he heard him and he walked with Jesus. You know, some see Jesus as a liar. He just spun a good story. Others see Jesus as a madman. He thought he was someone he wasn't, be like me going around saying, I'm Lionel Messi, look at me. You just would need to see me for 2 seconds with a football to know that that was utter nonsense. Some maybe thought he'd just gained some sort of mythical status as a legend, and stories about him had just grown and grown but weren't true. But John's like, don't listen to any of that. Jesus is the Lord. He's the incarnate Son of God, and fully human. And this is what makes Jesus' life like no other. You know, many are happy to think of Jesus as a good man, a great teacher, but you see, to think of him as God's Son, that can be a step too far for many folk. Why? Because if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then that demands a response from your life. You know, and we'll see that as we go into 1 John. It demands a response of love. It demands a response of obedience. But many people struggle with the demand, with how we respond to Jesus, how we give our all to Jesus. You know, I was thinking of the old song that actually captures in many ways the sort of general way that we live our life. You know, the old Frank Sinatra song, isn't it? I did it my way. Don't worry, I'm not attempting to sing it to you. But do you know where the roots of that song come from? The roots of that song come from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they're told by God, don't eat from the tree of life. They were singing that song, we'll do it our way, we'll do it our way. And they disobey God and they sin. And generation after generation of us are born into this cycle of, I will live to do it my way. But the incarnation of Jesus, you know, God himself coming to this earth, Jesus invades that pattern of thinking. Jesus' life confronts that pattern of thinking, because he says to us, follow me. He would say to John and his brother, follow me. And if we follow Jesus, and you know, then Jesus demands that we lay aside, I'll do it my way, and we pick up, I'll follow you and do it your way. But because Jesus is the Son of God, then he's worth everything. He's worth laying aside and everything and just picking up and following him as he would want us to do. So, you know, John was passionate about people following Jesus. It comes out in verse 3 when he uses that word fellowship, from the word koinonia, about sharing in that common invitation and that common fellowship with Jesus. That's what he wants. He wants people to come into fellowship with Jesus. But these young churches, Asia Minor, modern day Turkey, they've got a crisis of faith. And we see in this letter that John looks to firm them up again on the bedrock assurance of the truth of Jesus and his life. In many ways, he's saying here, right at the start, little children, you know, before you go anywhere, look to Jesus, look to his life that was like a life like no other, because he's the Son of God. And it's crucial to what you go on and write about. You know, why can we know joy in our lives? Because we get fellowship with the Father through the Son, who brought us into fellowship with Jesus. How can we know our sins are forgiven? Because God the Son paid the price for them. You know, how can we grow in love for each other? Because we're loved perfectly by the Father, seen through the life of his Son. You know, I know, you know, this is just going to be exciting for us as we just get more into this book and more into the life of Jesus as well. But you know, I know many people at times come to me and say, you know, Mark, I'm experiencing a crisis of faith. And maybe you're listening to that and you think, you know, that church back then was experiencing crisis. You know, I'm experiencing my own crisis. Maybe you've listened to some stuff and you thought, what does that actually mean? Maybe someone's, maybe you're just confused, you know, wondering about what it is you believe. Maybe, you know, what we've gone through is a bit of a crisis of faith. And whenever anyone comes to me about that, you know, I always say to them, let's start by getting back to the basics. Let's just get a gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, let's just pick one. Let's just open a gospel and start reading about Jesus. Start reading about who he is and his life, because it's a life like Noah, because he is indeed God's son. So let me encourage you, maybe that's you today, speak to someone, open the gospel, start reading about the life of Jesus. So here we are then, we're starting to dip our toe into this book. John, the author, from thunder to love, the context, Jesus, a life like no other. John's going to look to bring assurance in this, he's going to look to strengthen these churches in the bedrock basics of the Christian faith. And really just kind of, you'll see the tone of this letter, it's just one of love and care and compassion. But just finally, in the time we've got today, I just want to share a verse with you that God has laid on my heart for this new series. And it takes us to our third point, which is walk like Jesus. 1 John 2, verse 6. Key verse that God just laid on my heart as we were preparing to start to get into 1 John. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. John is saying here, whoever has asked Jesus into their life as Lord and Saviour, whoever now abides in Jesus, that's a key word for John, we'll come into it later, must, he's saying, has got to walk as Jesus walked. And like I said, this verse uses one of John's favourite words, it's the word abide. I think he used it over 50 times in his New Testament writings. And the picture that John has in this verse here is of us continuing with Jesus. And of course, this takes us right back to the beginning, right back to the Son of Thunder that has become the Apostle of Love. Why? Because he had continued to abide, he continued to walk with Jesus, and as he did, he became more and more like Jesus. You know, Jesus taught the importance of abiding in him, and John recounts it in his own, in the Gospel of John. In that discussion about the good vine and being grafted to the vine, and Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Just reminding us of the importance of that continuing walk with Jesus that John is expressing here in 1 John 2. Verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus. Some translations actually use the word walk, must continue to walk with him. I was thinking about this, and I think one of the things that during this time, pandemic time, that this has taught me, just that importance of continuing to walk closely with Jesus. Because at times I thought, I need to try and fix this, or I need to try and do this. And I think God's just been saying to me, abide more in me. Draw closer. Let me prune you where it's been needed. If you go back and read that, I think it's John 15. If you go back and read that, you'll talk about God's activity in our life of pruning us at times so that we can grow, so that we can flourish more. And I know God's done some pruning in my life during these last few months. And that's good though. It's good. It's good if it enables us to continue to walk, abide, grow, be more like Jesus. John Stott says, we cannot claim to abide in him unless we are like him. And John moves from being the Son of Thunder to become known as the Apostle of Love. Why? Because this is what Jesus can do in our lives. Why can Jesus do that? Because he's God's Son. He's like no other. And the invitation of God's word as we go forward into 1 John will be to walk like Jesus, to continue with him. And I think this is one of the things that Jesus is reaffirming to us as we start into 1 John, is that simply to continue to walk with him, to abide with him, to become more like him in what he said and in what he did. And as we look at some of these bedrock truths in our lives, it's not just going to be about head knowledge, it's going to be about how that impacts your action, how that impacts how you love others, how you care for others, what you say to others. You know, and we are going to be changed as we come into God's Word over the next, I think it's 10 weeks as we're in 1 John. You know, really believing that God is going to be moving in our lives as we journey through this book together. From thunder to love. That's what John went on. And then, you know, the context, you know, Jesus, a life like no other, is just going to be something that as we go on, it's just going to be more and more reinforced to us through this letter. And what does it mean for us? It's, you know, the invitation to continue to walk with him. And that bedrock in our faith growing and then impacts all areas of our life. So let me encourage you, if you've not done so already, 1 John, read through it. It doesn't take too long to read through. I think if you're in a life group this week, I've encouraged you just to maybe even as part of your life group, just take that time to read through it together as a life group. And let's, you know, let's go forward excited about this new series that God is bringing us into, you know, bedrock, back to basics in 1 John. Let me just pray for us now together. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for bringing us into this new series in your word in 1 John. I want to thank you for what we see in John's life, this man who, you know, you called the Son of Thunder, who became known as the Apostle Love, just capturing the change that happened in his life. Jesus, thank you that you continually bring change into our lives. And as we start this journey into this 1 John, we want to be open to all that you want to do in our lives. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, your Son, a life like no other. Jesus, you are, you know, fully God, fully human. You came and you dwelt amongst us. You came and you walked amongst us. You know everything about what it means to be human apart from sin, because you never sinned. And that is so important, because that's why you were able to go to the cross and deal with our sin, because you're perfect and holy. And we thank you as we go into 1 John, that we're just going to see more and more, Jesus, of what you did for us, more and more of who you are. And we just want to follow more and more in love with you and be committed more and more to walk with you. That phrase about continuing with you. We want to continue to abide in you, Jesus. And we're going to see more and more of what that means as we're in this book in 1 John. So Lord, at the start of this new journey for each of us, we just commit ourselves to be open to all that you want to do in our lives through the power of your Spirit. Father, as we come now to our closing song of worship, we want to just lift our hearts in praise to you. Lord, we can continue to pray for all frontline and key workers. Strengthen them, Lord. Strengthen them. And if they're feeling tired, if they're feeling emotionally worn out, you know, we are starting to see you know, the benefits of people being vaccinated and the benefits of this lockdown as numbers drop. Lord, help us all just to remain diligent. Help us all to remain, you know, we've said throughout this, having our eyes open, looking out for each other, you know, looking out to folks in our neighbourhood, looking up to you as well, Father God. But Lord, we really, we just continue to trust in you during this time, Father. Lord, thank you for all that you are doing. Thank you for the people that are on Alpha and how you're touching their lives. Thank you for the food bank that's running. Thank you for Acts 4:35. Thank you for, you know, Kickstart that's going to be getting up. Thank you for all the things that are happening that nobody knows about, nobody ever needs to know about. But it's just your people in love responding to those round about them, Father. Lord, as we come to worship you now, we just declare again that you are beautiful, you are mighty, you are powerful, and we bow before you now and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship God together.
is now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord.
Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you, and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all surpassing gift of righteousness.
Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy,
to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you bring you home rejoicing once again.
huge thanks to the worship team and to yourself as well, Matt, for kicking us off in our new series, Bedrock, in 1 John. We'd love you to join us this evening for prayer at 6:30. You're more than welcome to do that. It's the usual Zoom details that we use for the church format meeting tonight. And I should tell you as well, it's the same Zoom details for the support evening for parents on Tuesday evening as well. We trust that you've been blessed by the service today, and may God bless you in the rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you, David. And just quickly come to my mind, again, the prayer chain's there. If you want to use the prayer chain to get put down prayer requests, please do so. You can, if you're needing help, office@eastmainsbc.co.uk. Email us on that. And as David was saying, God bless you all, and enjoy the rest of your day.